Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 59, O Come and Let Us to the Lord. 59. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Glory be to you, our God, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather for worship. Lord God, we come to worship and to approach you in prayer because of a need which we feel and acknowledge within ourselves. We bring to you, Lord, our concern about ourselves, the way we have been living, the effect we allow the world to have on us and on our way of life, the extent to which we give way to the temptations and the pressure of the world's ways of living and ways of thinking. We seek your forgiveness and your help, so that in the strength which you supply, we may face and overcome the temptations and difficulties of the way, and so that we may give encouragement to others. Help us to remember that our basic need is in you, our God, and not in material things. And help us daily to give ourselves to your service through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 166, Lord of all hopefulness, 166. God's word. In the New Testament, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 19. Mark chapter 2, verse 19. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 160, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," 160.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. I sometimes still think about my father's Auntie Lizzie. One thing which regularly brings me to think of her is when we come across this word, which we meet frequently in the Gospels, the word Sabbath. Auntie Lizzie always referred to this day in the week as the Sabbath. A lot of people did that in earlier days, as maybe you also can remember. But for me, well, I heard it so often, so regularly, and so invariably, that I couldn't help but associate the word with Dad's Auntie Lizzie. She was quite a character, one member of the family who exuded fun and laughter. But for all that, she was a regular churchgoer and a Bible reader. When we visited her, it was usually on Sunday afternoon. The visit was often merry and convivial, but for Auntie Lizzie, whatever one did on Sabbath had to wait until one had been to the kirk. The Sabbath is mentioned often in the Gospels, things which Jesus did on the Sabbath, how he crossed swords with the religious authorities because of the things he did. We know, of course, that the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, the day referred to in the Ten Commandments as the day of rest. For many people nowadays, Sunday is the seventh day of the week. The week begins on Monday. Diaries and programs and the like of that. Their week runs from Monday to Sunday. There's no need for you and me to be caught up in that pagan practice. The Christian church, right from its very beginning, made its day of worship, not the Jewish Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, but the first day of the week, the day on which Jesus rose from the dead, the day when he met with his disciples gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. He met with them again on the first day of the following week. And so the practice of gathering on the first day of the week became established. So Sunday became the day of worship for Christian people. So indeed it was for Auntie Lizzie, but she consistently called it Sabbath. The Sabbath then, in the days of Jesus' earthly life, and particularly in the days of his public ministry, the Sabbath became a bone of contention between Jesus and the religious authorities of the day. The reason for the clash between them was concerned with the attitude to the Sabbath. For the scribes and Pharisees, the Sabbath had become such a sacred thing that it dominated all their thinking and all their conduct. When Jesus came on the scene, preaching and teaching and healing, they felt their authority being undermined somehow. So they kept on the watch to catch Jesus out. Anything he was doing on the Sabbath, which was not allowed by law, that would give them an opportunity to challenge him, to point him out as a lawbreaker, and therefore not a true upholder of the Jewish religion. On this occasion, which we were reading about today, it was rather the disciples of Jesus who were breaking the law. What were they doing? They were taking some of the corn as they walked with Jesus through the cornfield, rubbing it in their hands and eating it. They were found to be going through four different actions, all of which contravened the Sabbath law. Reaping, winnowing, threshing, preparing a meal. Their simple action was at fault on all four of those counts. So they were clearly in breach of the law, the Sabbath law, of which the scribes and Pharisees were such jealous guardians. They no doubt expected Jesus to get his disciples to stop immediately what they were doing with the ears of corn, To them, there was no room for debate about it. If you were found to be breaking the Sabbath law and it was brought to your attention, the only thing for a proper Jew to do was to stop his action immediately. But did Jesus stop them? No, he didn't. Did he plead with the scribes and Pharisees on behalf of his disciples and ask for them to be excused? No, he didn't. Jesus hit the scribes and Pharisees with their own scriptures. Remember what King David did, he said. He and his men ate some of the special bread in the temple when they were extremely hungry. That was what was called show bread. It was kept on display in the temple. It was replaced after a week, and only the priests were allowed to eat it. I don't know how attractive it would be to eat after being on display for a week. For myself at home, I buy small loaves. As some of you know, Mrs. Hebbenton has to eat different bread from mine because of her celiac condition. So I buy a small loaf for myself in the hope that it'll still be fresh enough when I get round to eating the end of it. Anyway, for better or worse, the priests were allowed to eat the showbread and no one else was. And Jesus said the Sabbath was made for the benefit of mankind, not the other way around. The scribes and Pharisees were looking at the situation the wrong way around, making the Sabbath the ruler of human life. There are different ways in which our present Sunday can become the ruler of our life. And it's equally a bad thing if that happens nowadays, just as it was for the Sabbath in the days of Jesus' earthly life. It is good that we observe Sunday in dignified and proper ways. It would be a shame to see Sunday become just another day of the week when people went through the same routine as on the other days. But there's a great deal more to being a Christian and living a Christian life. There's a great deal more to it than Sunday observance. I like the old story of the two village elders in days gone by walking to the church to take part in the communion service. One was some distance ahead of his colleague, and the elder who was behind was surprised to see his friend stop and begin to climb up a lamppost. The old-fashioned kind of lamppost, of course, which we used to have many years ago. It seemed a strange thing to do, dressed in his communion garb, running the risk of getting his clothes dirty or crumpled. But there he was, climbing up the lamppost. By the time his colleague caught up with him, this elder had climbed down again, and then came the explanation. He had caught sight of a bird trapped inside the lamp, and he'd gone up to try to release it. More important to be kind thus to God's living creature than to get to the church in impeccable sartorial appearance. This incident which we read today is by no means the only occasion in the earthly life of Jesus when he clashed with the authorities about the Sabbath. And it leaves us with lessons to learn. We have to learn that the Christian religion is not a matter of rules and regulations. Love, forgiveness, service, mercy. If we forget those and replace them with the performance of rules and regulations, we're no longer practicing the Christian religion. Jesus came to the world to minister to human need. He met human need in various forms, and he still does. So that's another lesson we have to learn. Human need is more important than rules. When we meet people in need and we can do something at least to alleviate that need, we have to set aside other considerations and do what we can to help. It's simple, but it's not always easy. Other considerations, personal preference, our own immediate concerns, all can stand in the way of our doing the Christian thing. It's how we behave towards other people which matters. Somehow we have to keep in the forefront of our mind the example of Jesus himself and the importance of being ready to follow his example in the situations which face us in daily life. Those situations sometimes face us without warning. That's why it's so important to keep ourselves in readiness. And one way of doing that is just by our regular worship. Here in the church, we are in touch with God. We're constantly being reminded of what Jesus is like, the things he treats as important, caring for people more than for things, more than for rules and regulations. And somehow, in our worship in the church, God's grace can get through to us. We can be touched by it. Our life can be transformed by it. So that there's all the difference in the world between having been to church and not having been. Some people, of course, can't come to church, and we do what we can with CDs and with visits and other ways, and every possible way we try to keep in touch with those people and keep them in touch with worship. A daily walk with the Lord. That is our means of staying alert to what's required of us day by day. The Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord of our Sunday and the Lord of our life. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 249, We Have Heard a Joyful Sound, 249. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you to bless our giving. Help us to give freely, not only of our material resources for the material purposes of your church, but also of our spirit for the spiritual advancement of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings to us. We thank you that away in the past you spoke to mankind by way of the prophets, and that in your good time Jesus Christ came to bring your message. We thank you for your word, especially as it has come to us in the words of the Bible, for the way of salvation which it makes known to us, and for the light which it sheds on our way. Grant that we may read its lessons aright, so that our life may be guided along the right pathways. We pray for our human brothers and sisters everywhere. You see people's needs, Lord. We ask you to help us to be your agents in meeting those needs. We pray for the church, that you may purify and strengthen it and make it able to meet the challenge of these days in which we're living. We pray for those in illness or trouble or difficulty, that you will be with them to help and heal and support. We commend to your unsleeping care our own loved ones wherever they are, and we ask you to be in our homes and fill them with peace. Almighty God, with your whole church throughout the world, we thank you for your servants of previous days who have left us the light of their example of faithfulness to follow. Grant that we too may be faithful, so that our Lord may find us diligent in service and ready to enter with him into the many mansions of our Father's house. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, it's time to bring to our attention the service that we're going to hold a fortnight from today, Sunday the 28th of February. We've been without a minister in this charge for quite some time, and there's a committee which has been trying hard to deal with that situation and find a new minister for the charge. And this applies equally to the congregation of Ardeer. And so it's been decided to hold a combined service for the two congregations. And we're going to hold that here in this church a fortnight today, Sunday the 28th. It'll be held in this church at 11 o'clock that day to concentrate on the situation that we have and the need to look for a minister. And I think Mr. Andrew Tomlinson is going to speak during that service to update us on what has been happening and where we hope to go from here. So that's a fortnight today, Sunday the 28th, joining with the congregation of our dear here in this church at 11 o'clock. Now, we've just recently heard that early this morning one of our members died, Mrs. Janet Miller, who was a very faithful member of this church and a regular attender while she was able. It was only in the early hours of this morning, so we have no details as yet about a funeral service. But in these days, it quite often takes a week or more for funeral services to be arranged. So it may well be that next Sunday we'll still have time to give details. But in the meantime, our thoughts and prayers are with Brian and the family. And now we close this service with singing hymn 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 547. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.